Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everyone. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden here, True Straight Up.
That's right, the Chuck and Julie Show, chuckandjulie.com. Show brought to you today, as always, by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine. Dr. Jack Schaefer, you have an appointment later this week with him, along with Denver Synergenics and Dr. Julie McCallum.
All these appointments.
That's why he's wearing. And Chuck is wearing, you don't always see Chuck in a suit and tie, but
he
was playing lawyer today, right?
In court today.
So, and it went well. So that's always a good thing. We have coming up to at 3:15 today, because it's, you know, day before. I'm not quite D-Day, I guess tomorrow is, but day before, obviously the midterms. Chuck looks so dapper. That's right. Before the midterms, we're going to have Casper Stockham come on at about 3:15. Give us an update on Heidi Ginnall. You know, she's getting some big crowds at her events and things like that, right? So it'd be kind of interesting to see what Casper has to say. Yeah. And then TJ likes the suit. They say, okay, you look good. All right. He's going to straighten his tie. And then we're going to talk about how great Chuck looks. No, I'm kidding. We will. But then at 3:30, Ted Trimpa, a.k.a. sort of Soros, Dem strategist, see what's going on here. But Chuck, it's looking good. And here's what I think, that, again, polls anymore, I'm extremely skeptical about polls, but all of them are kind of trending the same way. You've got people who, and I think this is just as important, people who don't, like 81% of the people are dissatisfied with the economy. Some 70% of the people think the country's going in the wrong direction, like the highest ever. Biden's approval numbers are down. So all of these things, I think, are showing definitely a shift. And whether this candidate or that candidate, I think obviously Election Day will determine that. I mean, we'll know that for sure. But I just think everything looks good for Republicans.
Well, you know, I'm optimistic, but it's very close. There are five states: Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, Arizona, Georgia, and Nevada. Four of those, the Real Clear Politics average is a point or less. So it very
within
little,
margin of error, really.
Well, yeah, not even the margin of error, even a half the margin or a third of the margin of error. Now RCP tracks that three of the four of those will go Republican, and New Hampshire will not, but they easily could go other ways. So, you know, it isn't over. It's certainly looking good, picking the House. But it would take very little cheating here, a little poor turnout there, to have a different result, certainly in the Senate.
Right. Well, in the Senate, yeah, as you said, the House, I mean, the predictions there are all over the place, anywhere from, like, I think most people agreeing at least 15 up to 40. I'm like, well, that's kind of a big swing. Here in Colorado, though, it's kind of interesting. There's been a bit of a swing. Not much, but the Joe O'Dea race is now sort of officially a toss up, a projected a Democrat win.
Right.
But however, that's a shift. CD8, which is the Barb Kirkmeyer seat where we live, and that is now projected to lean. It's lean. Republican, right?
Lean Republican. It has been from the beginning, and CD7 lean Democrat.
CD7, though, people trying to read the tea leaves. The Democrats, as of a couple of days ago, pumped like about $500,000 TV.
Well, that means they're worried about it. I mean, that would be an indication that they have some internal polling that shows differently.
Right. Well, this is, this is from interesting from Sandra. Tina Peters is supporting Heidi Ginnall. She called Daniel Neuschwanger, which Tina recorded, and Danielle basically said she wouldn't support Heidi and that if Polis gets elected, so what? It was definitely more nasty. Richard Randall has a recording if you want. Okay, thanks, Sandra. Actually, I've seen that out on Twitter, that Tina Peters is supporting Heidi.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, from Jim Jackson, I'm holding my breath that the Dems have ways to cheat that we haven't figured out yet. Well, you know, Karen Cataline. Oh, and our thanks to Karen Cataline for filling in for us on Friday. Good. Good family in town, so it was a great weekend. You know, as she pointed out, that is sort of the thing we don't know. I mean, it is kind of funny that all of a sudden, you know, now the Democrats are like, it's going to take days to come.
Years.
We don't know when we're going to know, actually. Certainly not by January. Oh, no, it's going to take forever. And Hillary Clinton is like, and plus, if we lose, that means it was cheating.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of funny watching them. And, you know, then you have What did you see, the thing surfacing where that one guy, I forgot what state he was in at the polling place, is saying they don't have enough staff, so you have to vote Democrat.
Yeah.
Right. Well, there you go. I think, though, the Republican RNC has sent a ton of people, lawyers and other people out to watch the polls this time. So I think they, I mean.
Well, yeah, but, you know, still, what people don't get. And I heard the argument on George Bachler's show today, you know, just no recognition of how the process works, how they cheat and what's allowed legally.
Right. And yeah, rigging is, you know, it's like you said, it's not always cheating if it's allowed, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, ballot harvesting is a disgraceful one. And Republicans don't do it. And they were, you know, Brockler's going, no, we can't be like the Democrats. So, you know, go, oh, okay. Oh,
great.
Yeah, let them ballot harvest what they're allowed to do. I mean,
it's like saying, you know, telling your basketball team, hey, we're not going to shoot the three-pointer.
No.
You know, because we're purists. We're not going to shoot the three-pointer. And I know that means we're going to get our butts kicked for the next who knows how long, but at least we will be pure and not shoot the three-pointer. I mean, it's ridiculous. Right. The rules, like it or not, at least for right now, allow
in Colorado.
It. Exactly. Allow it.
In some other states, they do and they don't. But in Colorado, they do. And the fact that we don't do it, the fact that we encourage people to vote on Election Day, which is insane. I mean, you know, you never know what's going to happen on Election Day. Big snowstorm, anything else.
And this is from Leo. This is pretty funny, Leo. Knowing the RNC, they just send a lot of people to Poland. Let's watch those polls, P-O-L-E-S. That's true. And then Sandra on the recording from Richard between Tina and Danielle. You know, here's what I think on that, though. We support Heidi. I think, what is Danielle polling, like maybe 3%? I don't think it's going to personally.
Well, 3% can make all the
difference. Make all the difference. But who, I mean, I'm not sure about that. And Colorado, it looks like the numbers are, you know, the returns are starting to come in. This was funny. Somebody was in New Mexico, there on the Secretary of State website. And this is what raises questions, right? It said that they had 17 million ballots returned. The only problem is there's only 1.3 million people in the whole state.
Well,
yeah, registered voters in the whole state.
Just round off.
Now, that's why it's going to take so long to count, you know, because they have to send some of those to other states and handle that kind of thing. You know, we have, want to bring Casper on now too?
Sure.
Okay. Hey, Casper, if you want to go ahead and unmute yourself and turn your camera on. Casper Stockham, you know, longtime grassroots activist working with the Heidi Ginnall campaign. I'm sure you guys had a very busy weekend. Why don't you tell us all about it and how things are going?
Well, they're going actually pretty well. Can you guys hear me okay?
We can. Mm-hmm. You're perfect.
Okay, perfect. Okay, great. Yeah, it's going well. Heidi and Danny are crisscrossing the state as we come into the final day of campaigning, getting large crowds, as you mentioned earlier. You know, in El Paso County last night, it was a nice, very nice crowd that showed up in support of her. El Paso County is going to be critical for Heidi's campaign to get across the finish line. So we need a lot of folks in El Paso County to show up. I was very pleased, and I tweeted out as much for Tina to endorse Heidi.
Yeah,
that was critical, and people are. And I think Chuck would agree with this. You know, people don't really understand politics. You know, they want it to be some kind of, I don't know. It's crazy. So they want it to be some kind of a nice, clean process to where, you know, we just vote our values.
Whoop. Hey, Casper.
You're losing.
We're losing.
Things magically happen.
Right.
Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah. No, that's not your. Right. I mean, it's the magic of technology. Well, you know, I think you're right, and to me, I like Heidi Ginnall, right? I mean, yeah. I could.
Well, I didn't beginning like Heidi Ginnall. Tell you the truth, I thought she ran an awful beginning campaign with just little fluff pieces on beautiful Colorado. I watched her. She when her first event when she announced was in Westminster. It was pathetic. It was sad. It wasn't very enthusiastic, and it certainly wasn't bringing those tough issues that all the people in Colorado care about. But since then, she's brought on a great lieutenant governor candidate. She's done great on the debate stage. She's really doing the things she should have done ever since she began. But she certainly swayed me. I will not support Joe O'Day, but I absolutely will vote for Heidi and hope
did.
She did, and did vote did. For Heidi. Yeah, that's right. I already have.
So, Casper, what are you guys hearing turnout-wise? Anything or How's your get out? But I guess maybe that's a thing. The ground game. How's your get out the vote?
I don't have a ground game. Well, there is no such thing.
There's no Republicans. Okay.
Well, you can't. Once all the leaders tell all the people to come out on election day, then you and the Democrats have 3 weeks to do it. So there is no ground game.
Well, we have to win on the ground. I disagree with you slightly. Heidi and Danny have an awesome ground game.
Good.
We have been reaching into the Black community, Hispanic community, the African immigrant community. They've been endorsed by the Ethiopian community here in Colorado.
What I mean by get out the vote is you see who's voted and you encourage people who haven't voted yet to vote.
Oh, right. That's doing that.
Yeah, they're trying to get their people to vote, but you cannot have a get out the ground game vote if you tell everybody to vote on election day.
I'm voting in person on election day because I'm just tired of the foolishness. Okay. I've never voted in person in a long, long time, since I was a wee little lad. But now I'm voting in person at the voting location tomorrow.
There's no reason to send it mail in here today because it won't get there. So you might as well turn it in tonight or vote tomorrow.
But my question is, in terms of, when you're, because I do know, I mean, I saw the app, right? The Sidekick app, right? Where you can't, the RNC gave it to Colorado Republicans. Sure. So they can see who's turned in their ballots, who hasn't.
Yeah, but when you encourage most of the people to vote, it's no good.
Okay, I got
that. And unless Republicans realize that. I agree.
Chuck, but since the election is tomorrow, that's a moot. My question is,
next election.
Okay, but we're not talking about that one.
We will.
Casper, sorry about this little spat here. My question to Casper is, though, what are you guys seeing and hearing from folks on that?
What we are seeing is the polls are wrong. We're seeing that Heidi is within striking distance. And I'm glad that Tina and others, Sharana Bishop as well, have endorsed Heidi. It's sad that Danielle thinks that she is in this for something other than self-acknowledgement, because there's zero chance of her winning anything over than like 2-3%. So she really should not even be in the race. And that 2-3% could be enough for Heidi to win. So it's sad for her to still be thinking that there's any purpose to her being in the race.
Well, here's the problem. KBV ran a terrible assembly, and she knocked people like Daniel Neuswanger. It was rude, obnoxious, everything else. When Daniel said, oh, hell with that, I'm going to try to do my own. I didn't disagree with her, but now with Heidi having a real candidacy, she should have dropped out. She's not going to. So we'll just have to fight through it.
Had I been running the state assembly as the chair, I would have handled it much differently. I would have made sure at the end of the day, there would be no one, Danielle or anyone else, that questioned what was going on.
Exactly.
I would make sure that we came together and had a conversation, a public conversation, not behind closed doors, and say, look, what are your issues? Work it out so that at the end of the day, you can move on and endorse one of these candidates in the primary, and let's keep moving. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, because I know you've done a ton of outreach, and we just have a couple more questions for and let you go because I know you're busy. But, we're seeing nationally Latino voters, Black voters shifting, particularly men, I think. And in fact, Stacey Abrams said that they're just being disinformed. That's the reason Black men aren't voting for.
Yeah.
And this is for the first historic right now. People like you are reaching out on behalf of, Heidi Gunnall, a Republican candidate. What are you seeing that same kind of shift here?
We are seeing the same kind of shift. Now, it's a little slower here in the inner parts of the U.S., but on the coast, the East Coast and the West Coast, like in Atlanta, the Black male vote is not going in droves for Stacey Abrams.
Right.
They're waking up big time. The Hispanic vote is waking up big time. So this is going to be the start of a large additional wave. Okay, we're going to have the red wave, but there's going to be a large additional wave of Blacks and Hispanics that are going to start moving back towards the Republican Party. I mean, we were Republicans in the beginning. We're going to go back in that direction. And I think you're going to see massive turnout for Herschel Walker and others in Georgia by the Black vote. And then in 2024, it's going to be just crazy wave happening for the Republican Party.
But, and I agree with you there, and we'll talk to Ted Trimper coming up. I don't see any sign that the Democrats realize they have to change their policies or even change their messaging. I mean, if I were in charge of them, I would at least tell them to lie, right? And say, but they're not even, Joe Biden gets up there and says, yeah, we're going to shut down coal. It's like, oh, that'll be good. You know? And then they're like, oh, well, it was hard for him to hear. I mean, I think you're right. I think what's happening now, because the Democrats don't.
No more drilling. We'll shut down coal.
We don't still want.
We're supporting you with our Inflation Reduction Act, but pouring lots of money into your NGOs.
Yeah. It's amazing that Fetterman is doing so well in a state where they rely on coal and on drilling and everything else. It just boggles my mind that he even has enough support to even be on the ballot, let alone win.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you a final question. What do you guys, if somebody is so inclined, need? What kind of events are,
what's your last day tonight's strategy?
We still need money because there's still some ads and things we can run to kind of finish strong. There's going to be a large rally tonight at the Stampede. Come on out to support Heidi and Danny. It's going to be our last big rally before the election tomorrow. I'll be there. Heidi will be there. Stephanie Hancock's going to be there. And a lot of other Republicans who are on the ballot are going to be there. It's going to be a great event to close out this cycle as far as large events. And then tomorrow is just, you know, honking waves and thank yous and, you know, radio spots until we just get across the finish line strong.
No honk and waves.
Get out of there knocking doors. All right. And where is there a victory party place or,
there's several. Heidi has an event tomorrow evening at, I think it's called Wide Open. I think it's down in Sedalia or Salida. I can't remember the exact location.
Okay.
It's on our website under events. There's also going to be an event by the Arapahoe County at the Stampede tomorrow evening, a watch party. And then the state party is doing something as well. So there's going to be several large events happening tomorrow.
All right. Well, Casper, thank
you. Good luck, Casper. Yeah, I love you.
I know you're busy today, so appreciate you taking the time to give us an update.
Absolutely.
All right. Casper Stockham there, everybody. We had some great comments. This is from Jacob. After all that economics and loss of IRA and 401k funds, that's going to be a vote decider. Exactly. I still believe from Sandra and Neil Mathai or Casper would be a terrific Republican chair. I don't disagree with you. And then Leo, you got to love Stacey Abrams telling black males are too stupid to figure out what's going on. And then Sandra says the event is in Sedalia. Well, I think, we'll see with Heidi. I mean, that would be a shocker. I'd be interested to see, normally in my covering Colorado politics, Coloradans would split the vote a lot, right?
Not anymore.
No, and then they didn't this last, absolutely, they didn't.
Once you got ballot harvesting, you don't get voter split. Somebody's not going to pick it up and say, oh, yeah. They're like, no, there's not going to be very few vote splitters. We're vote splitters, I have to say. I did not vote for O'Day. I wouldn't vote for the Democrat, but I mean, I will vote for and did vote for Heidi Ganahl.
And somebody had been asking this just real quick and aside, because I know most people probably made up their mind or decided already, but on all of the ballot issues, the only ones that we voted for was to cut the income tax.
Yes, that's only one of them. All the judges know, unless you know a judge and you like them. Otherwise, you know, they're passed by 80%. So unless you get it down, even the worst judges out there don't get removed.
The other things, I think, when we had Sue from Liberty Scorecard on, and she kind of ran through them, but all the other ones, you know, I was kind of waffling on the liquor store issues. And then I went to our local liquor store, our little, neighborhood liquor store, and the guy had a big sign and said, please support your local neighborhood liquor stores and vote no on all the liquor things. So I talked to him a little bit about it. And he goes, they're trying to say, oh, they might help. But he's like, they're not going to help.
No.
Make it easier for you to get a drink, in more places for you get a drink. That's right.
Lying.
And all the others, the affordable housing, the free lunches for all kids all of that is just
vote no. Except the income tax one. And even if you vote no on that one, it won't kill the world.
Because the Democrats will kill it anyway.
Yeah. Vote no on all the judges, unless you know a particular judge and think you should.
And we aren't going to get into, there are a ton of different issues in Denver.
Yeah, vote no.
In general, just vote no. Exactly. Well, Denver always wanted to raise taxes.
Yeah, they raised anything. Exactly.
This from Sandra. Absolutely, Julie. Just vote no. From Jacob. If we can talk about this a second. If Zeldin beats, how do you say her name? Hochul? That'll be the story of the night. All the other campaigns will be backseaters. Well, you've got that one. And I think
Control the Senate is massively important.
Well, that's the governor race, right?
I know, but I'm saying that's the story. The story of the night
is controlling the Senate.
Yeah, and I think the real shocker will be Washington. I think Hattie Murray may get in.
This is Leo. I voted for affordable housing with free liquor. See, now that gets on the ballot. But I think you're right. So you've got, and we'll talk about this afterwards, because we have said, if you can win in New York and if you can win in Oregon, the Republicans, but you can't win in Colorado, that sort of says something. And then maybe we need to reassess.
Yeah, you can win in New York, but you can't win in Colorado. What I love, here's the race I love, is Bull Dick in New Hampshire. There was a guy named Morris who was a former president of the Senate in New Hampshire, and he was the official Mitch McConnell one. And so the Democrats poured all this kind of money into New Hampshire, and Bolduc got elected or won the primary. And they all said, "Oh, he can't possibly win." Well, now Bolduc is within 1 point of the winning that race. And if they do, that'll be the greatest thing ever. And it'll show you
that down Mitch McConnell's throat.
Well, somewhere. And, maybe we had, they say, Ron Hanks couldn't possibly win. Yeah, well, they can do it in New Hampshire. They can do it here.
Well, and not only that, so if you're that guy, you're going to vote for Mitch McConnell for, leader? No.
No, they also withdrew all the funds from New Hampshire and from Arizona because Blake Masters wouldn't support him. And it shoved it up for Murkowski in Florida. And the Trump back
in Alaska,
Alaska, and that Trump back went to Bliska, is now winning.
Right.
So who knows?
Well, that's something to keep in mind. One of the other things this has done, I think this whole election cycle is it's exposed just how weak the Democrats are and what we've always thought. And that is nobody likes their policies, right? They just shove them through and then they expect all of it. And then they try to silence all of us and censor all of us and get us fired and get our bank accounts canceled, et cetera, if we disagree with them. But a lot of people disagree with them. But the other thing it's done, I think, is it's really exposed the rhinos for what they are, right? The fact that Mitch McConnell would rather lose the Senate than help the candidates simply because they're more MAGA candidates. Right. I mean, that says a lot.
It does say a lot. And I like how Rick Scott said, they asked him, would he run for Senate leader? He said, I'll worry about that after tomorrow. And good for him.
Right, right.
He said, well, you got to tell. No, we don't have to tell you.
Well, and I'm going to tell you something now. So there's a lot of chatter out there today about Trump may tonight, because he's at a rally. I forget for who he's having the rally for, but he's holding a rally. And there's been a lot of talk that he may announce his candidacy tonight. Right now, let me just finish. Trump is nothing else, a promoter, right? If he's announcing that, how many people do you think will be watching that rally who otherwise would not? I don't think he's going to announce at all. I don't think he's going to announce at all. And I think why take the, the air out of the room with that? But I think it's just a way to get everybody to watch. I mean, he's not saying it's just like, and it's one of those stories. I mean, does anyone believe the media anymore?
No.
Right. Politico starts reporting it. It's
once reporting Politico sources, said it.
Everybody's taking off. Taking off. Right. I don't think that that's even remotely true, but I think it will get a lot of people to tune in, which is helpful if you're trying to get people to vote for whoever it is that he's supporting.
He's probably in Pennsylvania, I think.
Yeah, I'm not sure where he is. Another interesting race, too, though, is in Michigan, where Tudor Dixon is.
Yeah.
That's looking really good, right?
Well, she's down a couple points, I don't understand how anybody can vote for, let's say, Fetterman or Whitmer.
Right.
I mean, she is vicious looking woman I've ever seen, and her COVID things were awful. But, it's going to be a real fight, and there's a fight for the Michigan Senate, too. So
right.
There's going to be a lot. Tomorrow night is going to be, if you're into elections and into politics and into tons of great races, this is March Madness.
That's right.
This is true March Madness. There are all these really close ones, which, I think the Republicans are going to do better than most. But there's certainly no slam dunks for the Senate.
I think people will be screaming if it takes a long time to count. Right.
Philadelphia will take forever.
Yeah. Well, here's
not
from
Philadelphia, but Pennsylvania.
From Jacob, I did not vote for the affordable housing because the ballot did not say how many units would be built. Maybe one unit would be built and the rest of the money would go to administrative costs. Exactly. From Jacob also, there are a lot of election deniers running thanks to the Democrats. It may backfire on them.
Yeah.
The Dems never denied the vote cheating in 2020. Absolutely. What they did is say you cannot talk about the cheating. And then from Leo, I think the Senate cafeteria should be serving McConnell's Ex-Lex brownies. There you go. With a little bit of a twist there. Well, I think, though, one of the things things that also besides the Senate and House, because I hope that they can open up the Democrats. Like freaking, I was saying, they're going to waste all their time looking into that Hunter Biden nonsense. Yeah, they're going to go out waste all, like the January 6th thing was not a waste of time. Yeah. But I like seeing the changes in the states, the governor's races, for instance. I mean, that because anymore, I think a lot of power, not anymore, always is in the states to make changes.
Particularly, well, it depends on what the person. Yeah, I mean, Carrie Lake will make all the difference in the world, right. Just like Ron DeSantis meant all the difference in the world. In some other states, you know, you got some rhino Republican where there's no real difference. And sometimes rhino Republicans get elected in Vermont or Massachusetts or Maryland. It really doesn't make any difference. But there are some races that really do make a difference. And one of those is certainly Arizona. Yeah. Certainly one of those is New York. You know, Zell's not running as a moderate or anything else. I think Arizona is critical. Nevada is critical. So there's some Oregon, there's a real chance
right. For
the first time since 1982, a Republican could win. So I think there's some great races there, too.
Well, and again, I think it's all supported by the polls that the Democrats, their message is wrong, their policies are wrong. And I think I was reading an interesting thing, too, and it was talking about the Gen Xers, right? The 40 to 60-ish year olds, right? I always get that confused. But it was explaining that these are your quintessential, you know, white suburban women, these kind of voters, right? And who vote and they pay attention. And it was I was reading a thing that they would have described themselves previously as fiscal conservative and a liberal social. And now they're describing themselves as fiscal conservatives and liberal sane, right? Because these are people who are impacted by they have kids, they, you know, maybe not grandkids that much, but they're the ones who particularly, and they're becoming a huge voting bloc too, right? I think second unto the baby boomers. And they're like, what's getting them out and what is shifting them Republican. And it'd be interesting to see how
crime
and the education stuff. Right. Yeah. I mean, you're trying to tell these people who, you know, are joiners and they want to be participating in their kids' lives. And, you know,
this is Jacob from The View. I think Sunny Hostel. White suburban women voters voting Republican are like roaches voting for rage. Okay, Sunny Hostel. Yeah.
It's that kind of stuff, right? The Democrats keep talking like that. They have their people in the media. And we can ask Ted about this, too. I also think something interesting is just the mainstream media doesn't even remotely control as much as it did, even close, I think, the narrative the way it did before. I mean, you know, you just
Would have gotten their Paul Pelosi thing that a nudist from Berkeley was really a mad MAGA supporter out to atone for
The January 6th stuff would have worked much better, right? They would be, they'd be trying to convict Trump. I'm sure Trump will be indicted, right? But let me real quick, because we're waiting for Ted Trimpa to join us. I've evolved on the whole Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis thing. So if you haven't been following, so Ron DeSantis endorsed, and not just endorsed, but actively supported Joe O'Day after Joe O'Day said he would actively campaign against Trump. So Trump criticized O'Day, then DeSantis endorsed O'Day, and Donald Trump kind of said, bad idea. Then he had this thing the other night, he called him Ron DeSanctimonious, right? But I wonder, but then he went ahead and said, but vote for Ron DeSantis. So I just wonder if that was, I don't know if there's a war, you think?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think?
Well, Sundance and you know.
On Conservative Treehouse.
Conservative Treehouse is saying he'd been watching who the people were that were taking over.
That were donating.
Taking over the messaging and the campaigning and everything else. And he found they're all just kind of bushies. And he's saying, you know, these people are really, they want to take over Ron DeSantis. Have them be their guy. And, you know, they know they can't get away with, you know, having a Larry Hogan
from Liz
Cheney or something. But get somebody who you know, the Trump voters like, and then get them from the inside.
And then corrupt him.
And then corrupt him. And I thought that was ridiculous until this last week when I saw a lot of things showing me that we got to really keep an eye on DeSantis because the messages he's sending out with people like O'Day are not good.
Well, and to me, though, this is just my take. If I were advising Ron DeSantis, and Ron, if you check out the show, just zip to this portion of it. Yeah. That would be political suicide because, number one, if Trump runs, I mean, you're doing a great job as a governor of Florida. And just stay there, continue to make people love you. You know, you don't have everyone attacking you the way that they're going to be attacking Trump. So you can just continue to build goodwill and a bank coffer. And then Trump, even if he runs in 2024, he can't run again. So then you can run then and be beloved by everybody. Why would you want to? Because I believe Trump would win that.
Because all of the cockroaches on Wall Street want him to. They don't care if he destroys himself. That's all.
Well,
destroy yourself.
Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. Sit down and, you know, because here's the thing. You've got another rising political star in Carrie Lake, too.
Yeah.
And again, if I were Ron DeSantis, I wouldn't be particularly worried about Donald Trump. I would be worried about Carrie Lake.
I would too.
Because I'd be that would be a very interesting primary.
You want to have somebody call, Ted?
Okay. Well, it's just now 3:30. Yeah, come on. Okay, hey, Thomas, if Ted doesn't come on, if you want to go ahead and call him. This is from Jacob. Carrie Lake is running against Katie Hobbs, yet Hobbs is a Secretary of State. How does that work? Oh, I know. They've had all kinds of issues there.
Same thing.
Georgia. And Leo says she gets to count her own votes.
Yeah.
Well, I think she, too, is saying, oh, it's going to take a long time.
Very long.
A long time to get all the votes. Well, let's go through then until we get. So Real Clear Politics, and the reason you like them is because they try to aggregate all of the polls, and they try to be straight, right?
Well, what they've done, which is unique to them anyway, they're taking all the polls, getting an average, and then seeing how far off these polls were in the 2016, 18, and 20 elections, and then ascribing a Republican or Democratic tilt. Nevada had a Republican tilt that disfavored the Democrat. In all the other states, Republicans were voted much more strongly than the poll showed. So they readjusted for that. And that has come out for them to say, they're going to win three more Senate seats. They're going to pick up so at least 53, while 538 makes no adjustments. So they do make some individual ones. And they say it's 55-45, whether the Republicans get 51. So that's a huge difference.
Right. Well, and then in the House, there's a swing there, but also Real Clear Politics there shows picking up. I think it's like anywhere from
15 to 40 something.
Right. That's kind of wide to me. That's like saying,
But it does show that there's almost no chance they won't win the House.
Okay.
While Real Clear 538 indicates it's a 1 in 5 chance, a 1 in 4 chance that they will take.
Okay. And Ted is coming on now. And then Real Clear Politics is also doing post election analysis of poll accuracy.
They are.
Well, and Hobbs should have been required to resign. Well, apparently not. And it doesn't seem to be making a difference. I mean, it is kind of funny how now the Democrats have been, spent the past 2 years screaming about election deniers. You can't question an election because that's a threat to democracy. And they're already questioning it. I mean, they're basically saying if we don't win, then the election was fraudulent and they stole it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow that's not being a denier. Or no. Threatening democracy. No. And I think there's increasing pressure from the Washington Post and those guys on Biden to not run again.
He doesn't care.
No, I don't think he knows. Do you think he knows?
Right. I'm president? I thought she was.
We'll ask maybe Ted.
Well, is Ted here with us?
No, because we have to see him. He'll come on. We'll see him in the little Zoom thing. In Colorado, as I understand it, there is a small chance that he could the Republicans could take over the Senate, do you think?
Well, I think there's probably a 60-65% chance, 70% chance they'll take over the Senate.
In Colorado?
Oh, in Colorado?
No, in Colorado.
There's a 12-15% chance they will take over. And particularly since they got Kevin Priola to jump to the other side,
right.
And then
right.
They had the judge say, oh, no, you can't recall him now. It's got to be the new district. Of course.
So that was a lot of time and money and effort wasted on that.
Vote against that judge.
All right. Oh, and then he is here.
He is here.
Hey. Jeff, you're in a tie.
Democrat strategist, as we said earlier, a.k.a. sort of Soros, Ted Trimpa. Ted, the step to democracy, was that your idea for a whole campaign messaging thing for the Democrats to forget about crime, education, border, inflation, and just talk about the threat to democracy? Because that was a winner.
Well, we could have a political and philosophical disagreement about it, because, you know, I do think what happened with, and I know you guys really disagree with me on this,
right.
But in terms of what happened with January 6th and a lot of the rhetoric coming out of Trump, I mean, I do think that there are real risks as a society in challenging elections and bringing out, an attitude that you can't trust elections. Now, with that said, making that a campaign issue is idiotic.
Make it your main campaign
make
issue.
It like your only.
Make your president come well, on no, and scare everybody issue.
Because if you like stop somebody on the street and say, are you more concerned about the fact that eggs doubled in price? Right. Or are you worried that democracy is in trouble? They're going to look at you like you're crazy and they're going to say, right. I'm worried about the price of eggs.
Right.
And it's not that they don't care about democracy. It's not that they don't care about the country. It's just, it's difficult for people day to day, and I understand this, to believe, is it really under that much of a threat? And the thing is, if you go back and you look through history, things can fall apart really quickly.
Right.
And so there are historians and folks that have looked at it and said, listen, this stuff can fall apart really quickly. You just don't realize it. And once it happens, it's too late. Okay, that's all great. That's academic. We can all sit around and talk about it. But you can't communicate that to people, at least from my perspective. You can't communicate that to people by barking at them and telling right. them that they're wrong and that they don't understand that they're destroying the country and that the people that they support and they believe in are the ones that are destroying the country. And then you really think folks are all of a sudden going to start believing you? Politically, it's really asinine that, you know, that democracy and to make abortion every other word.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, I'm to the point where it's like, I want to abort them.
Well, who was advising them? I mean, and what could you call? I mean, I'm glad you didn't. But because, again, we were saying, I'm like, Ted surely cannot be behind some of these campaigns.
Because, no, but we know he is.
But he's so smart there. I mean, how does this stuff, who tells these consultants and how do they come up with this and how do they remain so tone deaf throughout the whole cycle?
You know, I think that they're, and this is just me talking. This isn't okay. not on behalf of anyone, on behalf of any donor, on behalf of the party, behalf of any candidate, because I'm probably in a minority view mm-hmm. of about what I'm about to go through. But I think that you have kind of a convergence of polling, and polling, you know, many times is, you know, how you ask the question, mm-hmm. you know, it's many times you find what you're really looking for because yeah. you're looking for something. So therefore you find it.
Right.
And so I think there's a little bit of that. I also think that there is a, oh my God, I can't believe that how January 6th happened. This is so ridiculous. That really does mean that the world's coming to an end. And you kind of start getting caught up in your own hysteria.
Okay.
And then that starts clouding. That's like a filter through which you see so many other issues. And then the third one is you look around in terms of what you're going to campaign on. It's like, how can we win an election? And you look at the issues of the day.
Yeah.
And rather than talking about them, which right. I would have said that we should have talked, we can talk about what I would have said about crime, what I would have said about the economy, what I would have said about inflation. Not that I'm Mr. Genius, but I just think that we should have hit those head on.
Right.
Rather than kind of acting like they don't exist and say, well, inflation's not as bad as you think, right?
Yeah.
Crime is not as bad as you think because, you know, we really got to make sure that the people, you know, who are getting abused by the system don't continue to get abused by the system. And if that means some other folks, you know, slide through the cracks, that's fine. But, you know, the crack is like the size of the Andreas Fault.
Right.
So I think it's those three.
Okay. And those
I think it's really unfortunate, and we're going to pay a price for it tomorrow night. I think one of the few states where Democrats will win is here.
Yeah.
And what do you think?
That's a whole other conversation. I may be wrong on that.
I think you're probably right, but why do you think that?
When you look at, start with just some anecdotes, and I realize the plural of anecdotes, not data.
Right.
But when you look at some of the campaign commercials that were run that like tried to go after crime and really tried to go after immigration, let's pick those two. It was that Wells guy, Steve Wells,
right.
you know, ads that he paid for. He obviously developed. He obviously loved seeing himself on TV. And the language and the visuals that they use. Yeah, that gins up folks like you. And I mean that respectfully.
Mm-hmm.
But people like me look at it and you're like, okay, you're calling people thugs. You're barking at me about crime and then showing me broken out windows and then saying that, you know, all this can be solved by just voting Republican and vote for Heidi Ganahl and vote for Joe O'Dea. Or what, I can't remember what his byline was. Basically throw Jared Polis out. Talk about squandering an opportunity.
There's
an opportunity here to really talk about crime and the fact that you can steal a car three times, but you still get let out.
Right.
You know, that you have inflation. Inflation is occurring everywhere. So why don't you talk about it? And then say things like, and how did the Democrats handle this? They passed something that's called the Inflation Reduction Act, which wasn't that. That was a climate. Right. That was a climate bill.
You know,
now, for me, I think we Democrats should be saying, hey, on inflation, we actually did something. It's just taking a while for it to take effect. I mean, there needed to be an argument around inflation. You can't act like it doesn't.
You can't just act like it doesn't exist. Well, and I would say this, and I want to get your predictions, but I do think, and I know, I think Heidi Ginnall is doing okay.
I think she's doing well.
But there seems to be this over on everybody's part. I would say there are much better ways to talk about the crime thing than fentanyl. Fentanyl's bad, but it goes back to what do I worry about my car being stolen. Chuck's car has been broken into in our driveway, stuff like that. I would have.
Right.
I think there's just been a big emphasis on fentanyl, which is bad. But.
Well, let me ask you, what do you think of Joe O'Day's efforts?
He's going to actively campaign against Trump. Was that a good idea for him to say that?
What's going to be interesting is that I think what could come out of this is when O'Day loses, they're going to say, well, you should have put a more conservative Republican up. Then you would have had a better chance. You know, right. And who knows? Who knows?
Well, that's the argument in New Hampshire, right? They defeated the moderate because of Democratic money. LeDuc got it. Bullduck. And now he is right on the verge of beating Hassan. And they said, all the moderate Republicans, no, you've nominated the wrong person. And so, which is what everybody said about Ron Hanks. Oh, no, that idiot could never win. Well, the equivalent of Ron Hanks in New Hampshire may win. And the guy who wants to tell you he loves abortion, amnesty.
Hates Trump,
loves infrastructure bill. I mean, there had to be a better way to run a moderate campaign than he came up with.
Yeah. Well, I think some of this, too, is it gets so consultant driven.
Yeah.
And you know, and you start believing your own, right. Your own, and it rhymes with itch. And I just, it all of it seems so cookie cutter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, you could sit there and kind of predict these are what the ads are going to be. You want to talk about vanilla toast ads, Michael Bennett's. Ooh. You know, guy doesn't fly fish.
They cannot badly, but yeah.
You know, and I love him. I think he's doing a great job. I know you wouldn't think so, but.
No, I'm a good, we're friends because I work together.
I think in many ways, the Democrats are going to get lucky. Now, watch, we just get obliterated here. But I don't think that's going to happen. The state Senate, who knows? I think that's a 50-50.
See, if we were just talking about that, the House, so that's like for us a little bit of hope. So that's 50-50. Let's talk about then your predictions nationally. What do you see? What do you think?
Where is the Senate going to be?
We have a Republican Senate. And we have a Republican House.
Okay.
And I think the Republican Senate will be by a margin. It won't be, it'll be 51. Be my guide.
Closer. Okay. Not the 53. Because
these numbers have just started to spread over the last 2 weeks.
Right.
And we tripled down on the message that wasn't working.
Right.
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 And I think that they're, first of all, one, Dobbs happened too soon.
Yeah.
There's only so many times you can beat that drum.
Right.
And then after a while, people get tired of the drum.
Well, here's the other problem with it.
And then we turn to an argument that, you know, the last time I checked on any poll I saw, you know, in the top five wasn't the threat to democracy.
Right. Right.
Well, here's the problem. If you're in Colorado and you're worried about inflation, going to California isn't going to do you any good. If you're in Utah and worried about abortion, you can go to California. You can go to Colorado. And so the impetus is never going to be quite as much as if
the Democrats think.
The Democrats think because the person will.
Right.
But you're not escaping inflation. I don't care where you go to. In fact, where you go in the world.
Right.
Well, so what do the Democrats do? Because here's my question, because it is, I believe, some of the policies that they are, particularly the energy policies, that's driving inflation. And it'd be, you know, but they aren't going to back down from that. So, I mean, in 2024, are they going to pivot on the issues?
I guess I would disagree on the assumption that you're making. And the assumption that you're making is that it's the energy policies that are driving inflation. And I would say what's driving inflation is the fact that we poured so much money into the economy.
But
because it was an obscene amount. I mean, it's hard to find an economist that wouldn't agree that when you pump a lot of money in from the government into the economy, you're going to end up with inflation with this much. I mean, it's hard. I mean, I'm sure there's some economists out there that disagree with it, but it's hard for me to see when you have people that are getting more money from the government than what they were getting when they were working.
Right.
And people can say, oh, that's not true. It is true.
Yeah.
And their web, and I mean, again, this is anecdotal, but during the payments, I went out to New York to see Arash,
right.
And I was just curious. You know, I went to designer boutiques to find out, you know, is your business down? Is it up? What's going on? He's like, our business always picks up right after the checks land.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Wow.
You know, well, and these are, and these are places where when you buy a sweatshirt, it's $1,200.
Right. Yeah. So it's like, and you did, I'm sure, as I would, your job to help support these businesses. I mean,
well, yeah, of course, but.
Well, no, you're right. And
well, I may be a Democrat, but I still believe in capitalism.
what are you seeing in New York for the
government? Yeah.
you would have never thought. That this would be a close race. But what that says is that there's a lot going on underneath.
Right.
And us barking, again, I mean, I've said this many times on your show, barking and yelling people and talking down to them and telling them they're stupid,
right.
You know, or they don't understand it. And if you only listen to me, then you would really understand it. It's like the word empathy, it just like left the Democratic, you know, paradigm.
Well, I like Ron Klein saying, I'm warning you for the last time. And he goes, oh, okay, Ron, you're warning us for the last time.
Now that you told me it's the last time, well, of course, you know, the epiphany happens. The epiphany
happens. What about your thought on the role that social media and the media play in that? Because, and here's where I'm going with this. I think that the whole COVID thing was really bad for the Democrat Party because, you know, we all did our part and wore masks and stayed home. And then the businesses were locked down and everybody still got COVID and is still getting COVID. And so
shots don't stop you from getting COVID.
But at the time, you know, we got banned from YouTube for it. You were censored. Doctors could lose their licenses. I mean, the draconian, but people don't believe it anymore. And I guess so stuff that I think I wonder that maybe used to have more of an impact, you know, people listening to maybe NBC and ABC
CDC.
And the CDC, right. People just don't listen to them anymore. So it's hard.
Yeah, my doctor said the other day, well, the CDC recommends, I said, what did you say? And I said, I didn't mean that. thank
you. Yeah. The voodoo scientists recommend.
Yes.
The witches around a cauldron recommend.
Exactly. I mean, people, you know, Arash and Greg Gutfeld are killing it, right? And
oh, so, yeah, totally killing it. Yeah, 2.4, 2.5 million viewers a night. And that's, you know, the sixth highest rated show in all of cable TV for the 18 to 54 demographic.
And it costs them $12.35 to put it on. I mean,
I tell you, I bet there are more people who hand out bath towels in the bathroom on the, you know, on the Jimmy Kimmel and Fallon show than there are in terms of total staff people.
Right.
That, I mean, Gutfeld, they do it with less than 20 people.
That's crazy.
And all those little skits that you watch, that you see,
yeah,
those are shot on iPhones.
Yeah. Well, there you go. And so folks who don't know, Arash Ted's partner is one of the big producers on the Greg Gutfeld show. And I will just point out that since Arash went there, that's when he started going up.
But no,
just
can't get him all the credit. It was a good part of it.
But just because we only have a couple of minutes, I mean, do you see sort of the changing role and the distrust that people have in the media having an impact?
Yeah. Yeah. Because they're not believing. And so then the question becomes, where do you get your information?
Right.
Then how do you not calibrate, but how do you get something out in a way where you're not having to start from a beginning, from a premise of, okay, how can we say this in a way that they'll actually believe us?
Right.
How we can say this in a way that they're not going to think that it's totally biased.
Right.
And I think it's an intersection of, it's, you know, it's about ratings, and ratings are about making money, and you make money by getting the viewership. So you say certain things in order to do that.
Right. Clicks.
But also when you overplay your hand,
anybody
who says the media is not biased liberally, they're blind or lying to themselves.
Right.
But here's the one that all of them do now, which is whenever you get to the sentencing, so-and-so supports Donald Trump's false, debunked,
oh, yeah,
and wrong. You know, before, and I own a newspaper, you'd say, prompts controversial claims.
Right.
You add that whole litany into it. You just turn the page.
I mean, the Denver Post is it. Well, I get, shoot, we're running out of time. So you think, how bad is it going to be? A wave, a tsunami, a dribble?
Double tsunami.
How bad?
I don't know if I would say double tsunami, but it's going to be a bad night. I mean, there's almost no way for it not to be a bad night. And I realize I just did double negative, but you know, with the president with approval ratings, you know, at 40.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just really difficult.
And what's
frustrating about all this for me as a Democrat, we have so much to talk about. About inflation. We did something called the Inflation Reduction Act. We can argue about what's in it. I totally get what the gig is and what's there. When people talk about, oh, did you do something about climate? Of course we did something about climate. We passed legislation. Which, by the way, was the same bill. And, you know, we've never done this type of investment in infrastructure since Ike Eisenhower.
And so they just missed the boat.
This kind of investment into highways, roads, rail, bridges.
Oh, the racist highways. Well, the racist highways. Hey, Buttigieg, those racist bridges in New York.
but I see your point there, because even though we may disagree about that.
No, it's much better.
You could argue about it.
Yeah, you can argue about it.
Yeah, rather than this, okay, we're going to talk about democracy. Yeah, oh, we're going to tell you that problem's not as bad as you think.
Yeah. Right.
Well,
right.
You know, well, maybe it's not for you because somebody else buys your eggs. Somebody else cooks your eggs. Somebody else drives you. Somebody else fills the car up full of gas.
Right.
You know, well, I, every day, Joe Schmo, fill up my car full of gas. I drive myself. I buy my eggs. I fix my food. I buy my clothes. I take care of my kids. And I'm telling you, the prices for all of that have gone up.
Yeah. Yep, there you go. Well, Ted, we'll see. Well, maybe we'll talk to you after the election if you're
not into
therapy.
Okay, that'd be great.
But we'll sure. see.
Sorry for being late.
All right. No problem. Great to see you. Thanks for coming on.
All right. There. You bet.
Everybody. Anytime. All right. So, well, we'll see on Wednesday.
Tuesday night, you'll get most of the returns.
No, but I mean, our show is back on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
If we're allowed
to be on.
If we're not banned. No, we will be banned. So it's going to be an interesting night, guys. Thank you to Ted, to Casper. Love all of you guys on Zoom, the great guys there at BBS.
And we'll wait back for a little celebrating on Wednesday.
All right.